We live in a fallen, messed up world. Whoa, speaking of fallen, here's an illustration I prepared earlier. Thank you. Oh, well done, Mel. Let's not break the furniture. They won't invite you back. As long as it's not going to require any financial reimbursement. There we go. So we live in a fallen and messed up world. We all know that. Everywhere we turn, we see destruction and broken relationships and pain. In the opening few chapters of the Bible, the Bible talks about the fact that God made everything perfect. We messed it up. Didn't take very long for us to do it. And that led to broken relationships. And we've been suffering from that ever since. We want to be our own boss. We want to have autonomy. We want to call our own shots. We don't want someone telling us how to live our lives. But this self-centeredness causes conflict, because if I have to get what I want and you have to get what you want, what do we do if those two things are not the same? So we live in this self-centered world where we have this sad reality of conflict everywhere. Conflict with God, conflict with others, and conflict with ourselves. So conflict with God. God is the rightful ruler and king, but we want to live our own way, thinking that we're the king. We have conflict with others. We talked about that earlier, and I could list off a billion things we fight about. Maybe it's that we both want the same thing. We're fighting over that last piece of chocolate cake. No, we would never do that, right? Or maybe it's we're fighting over different things. I want this, you want that. We come into conflict. Or the third thing, we even have conflict with ourselves. There's a passage in the Bible in Romans which I call the do-I-diddy-diddy passage. You know, it's, I know the good that I want to do, but I don't do the good that I want to do. Instead, I do the bad that I don't want to do. And I call it the do-I-diddy-diddies. So we have this internal conflict with the desires that we have versus the desire to live the way that God wants us to live. And a lot of the New Testament is taken up with teaching us how to live in this fallen world. The passage that was read for us earlier listed a whole bunch of things of how we are supposed to live. I don't think any of you got the passage, but I'll just quickly read out some of the things it said. Love sincerely, hate evil, cling to good, be devoted to each other in love, honour one another above yourselves, serve God with fervour, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with people in need, bless those who persecute you, practice empathy, live in harmony, don't be a stuck-up snob, don't repay evil for evil, do what is right, don't take revenge. Oh, and if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And I don't know about you, but I just go, yeah, sure thing, Paul, no worries, I got that. I certainly don't have a handle on many of the things on that list, but one thing I do know for sure, and I'm very, very thankful for this, and that is that the Bible says that God's love for me does not depend on me being able to do all those things. I'm made right before God purely and simply because of my trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus. That is incredible, astounding, ridiculously gracious, and abundantly generous good news. Doesn't depend on me being able to keep a list of rules. It's all through what Jesus has done. So that's it, right? Jesus is the answer. Message done. We go home. Everyone's happy. Well, no. It's true that we are 100% made right before God because of Jesus. But we still have to coexist in this messed up world. The problem is, I'm a self-centered person. And when I interact with other self-centered people, we're going to clash. I'm still human. I'm living in this fallen world. I mess up all the time. I still try to be the boss and tell God what we're going to do with my life. I get selfish. I want my own way. I get cranky when people cut me off in traffic. Any other amens out there? Yeah. If the conversation isn't all about me, or I don't get all the green lights, and I could go on and on and on, but I'm not going to, because it's your turn to do that. This is where we get a little bit personal. So the game we played earlier with the kids, you guys are going to get to have a go of that yourself, not the frisbee part of it. We're going to do a slightly more grown-up version that teachers like to call think, pair, share. So I'm going to give you a little bit of time to think about your answer. Then you're going to turn to either the person or a couple of people next to you, maybe maximum of three for time purposes, and you're going to share with each other. And then the share thing is when some brave souls are willing to contribute what they had said to the group. And when I say they said, I don't mean don't speak up on behalf of somebody else. So someone who shared with you, don't give their answer to the group. Let them share their own if they want to. One thing you should know before you all freak out, it is not a share or die event. So participate to your own level of comfort, but do be aware that if you choose to not engage with it, you miss out a little bit, but also the people who are near you also miss out on interacting with you too. So if you're willing to be a little bit vulnerable, a little bit brave, you'll actually find that it builds community even better. So a little bit of openness goes a long way. Okay, so the question for you to think about, it's just maybe 10 seconds thinking time. What is something in your life that causes conflict? Doesn't have to be a loud, aggressive kind of conflict, but just something that creates that war within you where you are not getting what you want, perhaps, or whatever it might be. All right, so think for yourself. Okay, how did you go? Did everyone think of something? If you've got an idea of something you're willing to share with people, I want you to indicate that to me by putting one hand on your head, just so I know that you're ready. And for those of you who are doing that, you can give yourself a little pat for doing such a good job already. All right. So find someone next to you or a couple of people near you. I'll give you some time to pair, so share it together. Pair up and talk about what it is that causes conflict in your life. I'm only going to give you 1 minute. 1 minute for everyone to have their bit. You got 30 seconds left. Ten seconds to finish up. All right, if you could just wrap up what you're saying and turn back this way, that would be really helpful. Now, in class, one thing I like to do if I'm trying to get the kids' attention is I will say the word waterfall. And when I say waterfall, you put your hands in the air and you go shh. So I'm going to try that and see if it works. Waterfall. Shh. Ooh, not bad, not bad. Okay. So you've had time to think, you've had time to pair and talk about your ideas. Any brave souls willing to put up their hand and tell us what is something that causes conflict in an adult's life or a young adult's life? Ooh, roaming microphone. Yes. John did warn me that you're an interactive bunch, so I'm hoping this is true.
What struck me was when I have a misunderstanding with someone else. Or even with myself. So something else, something's going on and I'm like, why am I reacting like that? And I've got no idea. So either that or... So the misunderstanding then also leads to a difference in expectations and reality.
Yeah.
So I expect a certain situation or a certain behaviour and it's completely different.
Yeah, totally. Can we all relate to that? Yep, we've had misunderstandings based on that.
Yes, I find it very trying when somebody else is... decided what ought to happen involving you and doesn't tell you properly. And you're expected to know what happened, yeah. And I don't.
Can't you read minds? I think we can definitely relate to that. Yeah, at the back.
If I haven't done something because it did not occur to me as a possibility or a thought, and then when I'm told that I should have done it... It feels like I'm being told, I can't believe you thought of it and then decided not to do it. Or I can't believe you decided to be thoughtless. It's like, no, it didn't even occur to me. Like,
hence the term thoughtless. I did not have the thought. The thought was less. Yes. It was missing. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
It feels like I'm being told that I decided to be difficult. Yes. But I just thought I was behaving normally.
Thank
How
you for sharing.
How can I decide not to do something if it doesn't even occur to me?
Yes, yes, so true. What about this side of the room? Anyone brave over here wants to? Oh.
Do you have your hand up? Oh, it's like being at an auction. You put your hand up, it's sold.
For me, it's often about underlying fear.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Fear does definitely lead to conflict.
Well, I've come to the conclusion that sin is selfishness and selfishness is sin, and I think selfishness is what causes it, although selfishness sometimes is actually the result of fear.
Yeah.
But I think selfishness is the core of it.
Yeah, so true. Thank you.
When we fail to understand each other or fail to anticipate the difficulty of communication.
Mm-hmm.
So you assume the other person understands where you're coming from. They assume that you understand.
Yep.
And you're not on the same wavelength at all. And it hasn't occurred to you that you're not because you haven't anticipated that.
Sure. You've delivered your message. Surely they heard it the way that you intended it to be, right? Yep. And all of a sudden they're reacting differently to the way that you thought, and then what happened? Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're prepared for that possibility, it's less likely to happen.
Yes, very true. Keep on asking questions for clarity. What did you hear me say? Or this is what I heard you say, and so on. Brilliant. Thanks, guys. That was, one more, last one.
Just the conflict that I hold that God is indwelling, therefore a conflict in myself is a conflict with God, and God dwells in the other person who I don't agree with, so my conflict with them is a conflict with God also.
Wow. That just hurt my brain. That was a bit of a Matrix moment. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know how to respond to it, because I've not thought that through, but you're absolutely right. And I think when we think that the other person, when we know the other person is made in the image of God, you have to ask yourself, why am I actually fighting with the men in the first place? But it's that inner selfishness, it's that sin within us, and not a single one of us here in the room, I think, would be willing to say, I'm not selfish, or I never have conflict with anybody, or myself, or God. So, now the practical. We know that we make mistakes. We know that misunderstandings happen. We know that there are wars and all kinds of stuff in life. I'm going to teach you guys the method that I use to teach the kids at school about how to resolve conflict. And it becomes a game, but it's not actually a game. See if you can spot the hidden game within it. All right, so when you are in the middle of an argument, how do you usually feel? What's one of the emotions that you might feel, strong feeling when you're in the middle of a conflict with yourself or someone else? Angry. All right. What colour do we associate with anger? Red. What colour is a stop sign? Why do we have a red stop sign? To make you angry. Yeah. Why do we have to stop? What does red also represent? Danger. Alert. If we don't stop at a stop sign, what are some likely consequences? Boom, absolutely. You might not crash, but the cop might be waiting for you and go, naughty, naughty. So, broken relationships. The first step that I teach the kids goes like this. There are actions. We say, we stop and think. Can we say it with me? Stop and think. Now without me? Nice. You guys are a little bit sedate, but hopefully you'll pick it up as we go. Otherwise, I'll have words with John, because he did tell me that you guys were going to interact and be very vocal, so all good. I wonder if I could have some help. Maybe, would you mind helping me out here? What I'd like to do is to try and stick this. I'm actually going to put the roster. Is it sacrilege to move the roster? I'll never get invited back. Okay, so we're actually going to start at the bottom here. If you could just blue tack it down the bottom in the middle of that, that would be really helpful. Thank you. So, stop and think. If we stop and don't continue to escalate the situation, we're less likely to crash the relationship. If we can activate the thinking part of our brain, it helps to bring our feelings under control. If the feelings are really big, it's almost impossible to think straight. I'm sure you guys have all experienced having a toddler present in your midst when they have lost it. and their feelings are out of control, and there's no point trying to rationalize with them because the emotion is so big. So we need to calm ourselves down first, and that's why we stop and think so it doesn't escalate further out of control. Might not be a toddler either, if we're being honest. I know I've thrown a few patties myself. Warren was present for one at Coorong a few years ago at Stocktake, but we won't go into that one because this is being recorded, I believe. So anyway. So if the feelings are really big, it's almost impossible to think straight. So we might need some help to calm ourselves down. I'm going to do a think, pair, share activity again now. Can you think of some strategies that work for you when you need to calm yourself down? Or if you need to help other people to calm themselves down, what are some things that you use? So 10 seconds to think for yourself, and then we're going to pair. How do you calm yourself down when those big feelings are present? All right, your 10 seconds is up. Have a pair or a trio. And you're only going to get 30 seconds this time. Ten seconds left. And waterfall. Shh. Oh, I had one set of hands. Thank you. Nice. All right. Time to, could you, actually, how about if we just shout out your ideas? What do you do to help to calm yourself down or someone else down? Deep breaths. Nice. Getting yourself out of the situation. I love it. Zip the lip. Listening to music, great one. Not like the angry punk rock stuff. No. Appropriate music that's going to soothe the soul. Nice. Out in nature, get the air. Yep. Pat your dog. I love that. There's something about the human connection with another living creature. Oh, a cup of tea. Have a cup of tea, love. Is someone else called out over here? I have never heard that before. In case you guys didn't hear, he said ring their phone because that stops the conversation. That's brilliant. Is that a hand? Yeah. Scream in the wardrobe. Actual vocal scream or a silent scream? Got to actually let it go. All right, nice. When I'm teaching the kids, we often talk about the idea that you have to know how you feel, say how you feel, do something about how you feel, but don't hurt anyone, including yourself. And I find, because I've done the screaming thing myself, and it hurts. You're usually wearing it a little bit later. So I've tried the silent scream. It's not quite as therapeutic, but it's less painful. You take yourself off to the couch. You don't even have to be in the cupboard. You can go anywhere you like. Maybe not in public. People might just think you're a little loopy, but that's okay. All right, any other ideas? Ooh, try and be rational, which we do want to be, but most of the time when the feelings are really big, we got to calm ourselves first. But maybe saying something calming to yourself like, I'm going to be rational right now. I'm going to calm down these feelings and just having those thoughts. Brilliant. Taking a step away. Nice. Was that a... Chopping firewood. That's so good. Yeah, actually taking out your aggression. I love to play volleyball. Oh, something so therapeutic about smashing a ball. And if you hit it in someone's face, that's not appropriate, so I shouldn't talk about that. No. Sometimes we have targets and we, yeah. I have to remember it's being recorded so I can't say any of the things I want to say. Anyway, my favourite thing to do, and I love to teach the kids this, is to blow imaginary bubbles. I love blowing real bubbles. I actually bought a container with me today because we use this one to talk about our feelings. When our feelings get revved up, you know, that fizz rises, and what would happen if we took the lid off and poof, explosion and stuff. But I love bubbles for a number of reasons. They're fun. It takes your mind off things. It's distracting. And what do you think it does to your breathing? Slow down. Big deep breaths. We already talked about the idea of deep breathing. This one links deep breathing with something fun and active and distracting. So if you've got real bubbles, that's great. If you haven't got real bubbles, no problem, because then you can be the best bubble blower in the whole wide world. Do you want to try with me? The kids love this at school. You just have to pretend, all right? Just access your inner child and play along. Grab your imaginary bottle of bubbles. Flip the lid off it. Ooh, man hands required. Okay, we're going to dip the wand in. And a big deep breath. Nice. One thing I liked about this group was no... Oh, you caught it. Good job. No one went... Sorry for the sound effects, people.
That's going to break the boardroom meeting.
Could you imagine if you were having conflict in that sort of situation, a boardroom meeting, and you just go, you know what, I'm going to get out my imaginary bubbles, unscrew it and start blowing bubbles. They'll be like, so great. But it does calm ourselves down. Look, the reason I say all that is because we want to stop and be able to think. We can't think if our feelings are too big. So if we're in the middle of conflict, sometimes we have to step away and say, I'm going to come back to this later once I've calmed down. All right, we're not adding fuel to the fire. We're not escalating the situation to exploding point. And once we are calm and the other person is ready to, the next step, and I've got the two of them together, we want to talk it out and listen to each other. So in Buzz, we have the actions of talk and listen. Can you say it with me? Talk and listen. Now by yourselves. Very nice. Still a bit sedate, but maybe by the end. So we're going to talk to each other. We're going to listen to each other. Now, as you can probably imagine, in a primary school setting, it can be challenging for kids to do that well because they're often their emotions are very high. They don't always know what they're thinking or feeling. Sometimes they need a mediator to help, and that's what I do. I also train up some of the older students in the school who help to facilitate those conversations. So if they're walking around the school at lunchtime and they see a couple of kids who are doing the, you're not my friend anymore kind of thing, they can go over and say, would you like some help to sort this out? And sometimes they say no, sometimes they say yes. If they say yes, then the mediators can help them to talk it through. So they're going to stop to make sure it's not worse. Talk and listen to each other. There's lots I could say about that, but primarily being that both people have to be willing. It's very hard to have a conversation to sort something out if you're the only one who wants to fix it. iMessages are really important. I figure you guys probably know about iMessages. So, I feel this when you did this, rather than you always, or you never, or it's all your fault. So no blanket accusations or inflammatory language. And something I try to emphasise in my role is that I'm not there to get people in trouble. So I'm there to try and help the situation and help them to move forward. The bigger the dispute, the longer time you'll need to actually sort this out. So you need to give a fair bit of time to it. Sometimes it's a really simple thing and you can jump straight from that first stop and think to the next stage. And that is the most crucial, one of the most crucial, I should say. And that is this one. What is the problem? You have to diagnose it correctly in order to make the correct... what's the word when the doctor gives you the medicine and... The prescription, yeah. You want to get the right solution. If I go to the doctor and say, oh, my stomach hurts so bad, and he says, oh, I know what it is. We'll plaster up your leg. Clearly your leg is broken. He'd be like... What just happened there? My stomach hurts and you've fixed it by fixing my broken leg. I don't have a broken leg. What's going on? So here's our problem. Thank you. Sorry for making you do all this work. She will get double pay. Someone else is paying, right? Or double nothing. Love it. Okay. So try to define it as clearly as you can. Not the three or four sentences worth of, I felt this and blah, 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 blah. But it might just be, here's the problem. There's one piece of chocolate left and there's two people that want that piece of chocolate. Or there is one space at the front of the queue and I want to be in that one space, but you also want that one space. So there's one space and two kids that want it. Once you've defined the problem, sometimes, in fact, I would say probably most of the time, it's fairly easy to come up with ideas to fix the problem. So for this one, we have the action of a light bulb going off above our heads. Can we say ideas to fix the problem?
Ideas to
Very nice. Now, because it's ideas, we need more than one card. So we're going to put those two cards side by side. And you're still going to need to get two more above this. So I don't know if you can... Yeah? On a chair or something? Or are you just going to go gadget arm? Resilient and creative. You'll be fine. So this is my favourite part, actually, because you get to brainstorm ideas. You can be as creative as you want. And no idea is a bad idea. It just might be not the idea we choose to go with. So let's say, for example, there is that one piece of chocolate left. Could you imagine? Only one piece of chocolate. Devastating. How are we going to solve that problem? What's an idea? Yeah. Behind you, your hand up. Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Cut it in half. Half each. Easy solution, right? Has anyone got a different solution? Give it to you. Brilliant. If you guys are going to fight about it, I'll take it. No drama. It solves everything. Anyone else? Nice. Turn it into a game. I love it. Arm wrestle? Yeah. Brilliant. So the strongest, winner takes all. Kind of Hunger Games style. I like it. Paper, scissors, rock. So there's one winner. Okay, so there's all these ideas we've got. Now comes the hard step. We have to agree on one of the ideas. How on earth are you going to agree on which idea to go with? And this is often where conflict will come back into it again. And you might have to find yourself all the way back down at the start there where you stop and think, okay, I don't have to have my idea heard. I don't have to have my idea chosen. We're going to maybe paper, scissors, rock to decide which solution we're going to go for. I don't know. But that's, I think, the hardest step. Now, also a difficult step to do the illustration for, the action for. We're going to shake our own hand. Kids find this a bit tricky. I think you guys will be right. We're just going to turn one hand upside down, slide them together, give yourself a shake. All right? So we're going to agree on the solution and try to fix it. If it works, woohoo! Celebrate, however that might be. It might be that we do a happy dance, as we do in school. It might just be that you do a little in your chair, or a smile, or turn and high five the person next to you, whatever it might be. If the solution didn't work, we don't go to the celebrate yet, obviously. What do we do if the solution doesn't work? What's that? Back to the ideas, or back to the very start? Whichever is needed, absolutely. Hopefully, just back to the ideas, because you've come up with more than one idea, so you know how to fix it. We try it until something works, and then we celebrate. So if we were in school right now, can you guys over that side probably can't see so well, so your memory will be required. We're going to say it together and do the actions. And if you're feeling brave, feel free to get up and do a bit of a happy dance with me. Otherwise, give yourself a high five or something. So if you are having a conflict with someone, the first and most important thing to do is stop and think. Then we talk and listen to figure out what is the problem. Then we come up with ideas to fix the problem. Then we're going to agree on an idea. And if it works, we celebrate. Woo! Oh, I saw some fingers at the back there and a couple of... Oh, was that a high five? Thanks, Warren and Pinky. Nice work, guys. The street five. I love it. If we were doing this in class, we'd get the kids to come out and they would actually jump alongside it. Has anyone noticed what the hidden game is? It's a hopscotch. Brilliant. So we actually have this painted on the school premises. And if kids are having a hard time in the playground, they can go over to the hopscotch and actually hop it through together and figure out what's going on. I love it. It's simple. It does seem like there's a lot of steps there, but really, it's just a case of stopping. Don't make it worse. Figure out what's going wrong. How are we going to fix it? And then celebrate at the end. Really quite simple. There is one more step, and that's the sorry card. We already talked about the four steps to an apology before. The next thing we would do in class is we'd say, where does this belong? Where would you put that on the hopscotch? And these would be laid on the ground, and each kid would come along and pick up the card and put it where they think it belongs. Is anybody willing to actually be brave enough to come up and grab this card and put it next to where they think it should go? There was movement at the station. Yes! Volunteer. did I criticise you? Is that how it came across? I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for criticising you. It was really wrong of me to make you feel that way. And in the future, I will try very hard to be more positive. Will you forgive me? Thank you. Okay, I'm going to stand this side. You can actually just hold it next to it for if you like, because it might get moved. Whoops. Uh-oh, what have I done? There we go. So you're putting it in the talk, and why are you putting it there?
Because the sooner the better, I think, okay. Even though it's probably a hard time to do it.
Yep, nice. So the sooner the better. Who agrees? Sooner the better, get the sorry out of the way. See a show of hands? Excellent. Is there anyone who would put it... I'm just going to slide that one. Anyone putting it like right at the very start? Stop and think. Got a hand there. Anyone putting up here the listen? Yep. What about once we've identified what the problem is? Yep. An idea to fix a problem could be to apologise. Got some hands. What about once we've agreed on one of the ideas? A few other hands. What about at the very end when we're celebrating? All right. And what about after we've celebrated? Oh, but I can't reach that high. I just have to imagine. Anyone? Okay. Well, guess what? All of you are correct. It actually doesn't matter where you say it, as long as you mean it. And we talked about that earlier in the kids' spot, where we said that if you are sarcastic or rolling your eyes or angry when you say it, it not only doesn't work, it sometimes makes it worse. So as long as you mean it, you can say it wherever you want to put it there. It might be a really good idea on how to fix the problem, because it might be that you can't solve the problem any other way apart from apologising for a mistake you made and then moving on. Oh, there's a hand. Go for it.
With our kids, we've found that we've done the four-stage apology, and the question, will you forgive me, can be answered yes or not yet.
Yes.
And I think if you try and do the apology before you've found a solution and everyone's happy, the answer is more than likely to be not yet.
Mm.
But if it's at the end, when everything's kind of resolved, then it's much more likely that they'll accept
the apology. That is so insightful and helpful. Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
I'm thinking in church contexts and religion and stuff like that.
Sure.
Where people refuse to accept that the other person is not evil.
You're asking me to answer the question again, Sagan, of okay. How so would I...
If it was a kid, you might say, it might be a kid said, no, I'm not going to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's an adult, it might be a refusal to accept that the person who is diametrically opposed to you is not evil.
Okay. Yeah. Well, one thing I am very clear about when I'm working with the kids, and I'll just answer in the kid context, I suppose, because that's my area of somewhat knowledge. I always make a point of saying that you cannot control anybody else. You just can't. We can do things that might be helpful or unhelpful in the way we interact with them to get a different result. So if I'm shouting at someone, it's less likely to get a good result than if I'm calm and speak really kindly to them. But ultimately, I have no control over how they're going to react to me and what I say or do. So although this hopscotch really only works if you've got two people who are willing to make it work, because if you're not going to stop and listen to each other, then you're not going to get through the conversation. But I can still do this with a child who is feeling hurt and the other person doesn't want to forgive or doesn't want to sort things out. I can still work it through with them and figure out, well, what was it you were actually fighting about? And get that one person to help to figure out what they could do in the future. But I do not have control over any of the outcomes. All I can encourage the kids, a little bit like the holding of the grudge, and I forgot to say it when the kids were here, that was my bad. When we hold a grudge, we're the ones who wear the weight of that. We like to think that I'm holding on to that grudge because that person does not deserve my forgiveness. They hurt me so badly, I'm never going to talk to them again. I'm never going to forgive them.
You need to remember the only one who can change is yourself.
100% right. Ooh, nearly broke something. 100% right. The only one we have control over is ourselves, and ultimately, really only God can change our hearts. So I'm going to finish by praying, because ultimately we all need God's Spirit to be actively at work in our hearts, making us more like Jesus, making us less selfish, more willing to love our neighbours and put their needs ahead of our own. So I'm going to pray now. Please pray with me.